Hi, and welcome to another episode of Terra Nullius Cyprus. I'm Costa Constanti, and I want to thank the CVAR Severis Foundation for all the support over the years. Today, I've got a guest in the studio all the way over from Canada. That's North America, for those that aren't aware, which I'm sure you all are. Welcome to the program, Irini Tofalis Matis.
Thank you so much, Costa, for having me. I'm so honored to be here.
No, the honor is mine. Honestly, I know what it's like to visit a country and have to have a packed program, visiting family, doing very many exciting things, which I won't say right now. I'm going to get you to tell me all about it. Let's begin with first, where were you born?
So I was born in Famagusta, Varosi, on the north, in 1974.
So on the east coast, on the wonderful east coast of Cyprus.
So you know how gorgeous the beaches are, the life. It was truly, truly beautiful.
It's a beautiful place, like Irini. I mean, most people listening obviously may not have met Irini. She's a beautiful woman. Young and young at heart.
I don't know about young, but
pre-show we've been having a little bit of a joke about our ages and our looks, but she's a beautiful woman inside and out. I've recently met her online via a good friend in New York. Shout out to you, Nicola. Thank you very much for introducing us.
Yes, thank you, Nicola.
And Irini, you then were born in Cyprus, 1970, in Varosi. I'm assuming 1974 must have something to do with the fact that you're in Canada?
Yes. Yep. So, you know, my dad served in the war. Mm-hmm. We lived in refugee camps for quite some time, moved to the south. And in 1976, we got the good news from my mom's family, my mom's sister, that we were able to come over as refugees.
Your mom's sister was already in Canada
pre-war? Yeah, so we had my mom had two sisters and a brother already in Canada. Mm-hmm. So they were working very hard over there to help our family come over as well. My dad's family stayed here. They stayed in the south, in Larnaca.
Where's your dad's family from?
So my dad's originated, so they're from Gomikebir.
Ah, in Garpasia.
Yeah, in Garpasia on the north side. Mm-hmm. But a lot of his family, you know, after the war split up. So he has some in Lamesó, some in Nicosia. He has some in Aya Napa, like the Rinya area.
So they're scattered all over the place.
And then like his sister, his closest sister, another sister lived in Larnaca. So after they were displaced, a lot of the refugees went and stayed in Larnaca as well.
Well, the good, I guess, well, if you want to call it good, going to Canada was not exactly a kick. No. I mean, it's a great place. I mean, Canada, I mean, for us Australians know that Canada is basically the colder version of Australia. So we get sunburnt and you get frostbite. So but very similar. I mean, I have been to Canada, I've been to Toronto, been to Vancouver. And I must admit that it reminded me a lot of Melbourne and Sydney.
Yeah.
So I did enjoy Canada. And I've got a partner in Canada that I do a lot of work with. Shout out to Forager and hi, Bruce. I know you're listening. Bryce, I know you're listening. Bruce is his Australian name.
Okay.
Bryce is his Canadian name. But no, I love Canada. Now, where in Canada did you grow up?
So you were six when you went. I was six, almost seven at the time when we arrived. We stayed in Toronto for a little bit, but then we moved to a small town in Ontario Southwest called Wallaceburg, Ontario. So that was where my uncle my other aunt and uncle were living, and it was a bit better for us being from a smaller town. So my dad ended up, we moved there. My dad got a job as a line cook in my uncle's restaurant. And then after that, in around 1980, my dad, we moved to a place called Sarnia, Ontario, which isn't too far, again, in Ontario Southwest, where my dad bought his own pizza place.
Oh, wow.
So he basically said, hey, if I can do make a steak or fry eggs, I'm sure I can figure out the pizza.
Well, you know, the greatest gift Canada ever gave the world was from a Greek who was making pizza, who put pineapple on a pizza.
Sam. So Wallaceburg, Ontario, my dad knew Sam.
No. He's a hero to me.
Yeah.
An enemy of the Italians, but a hero to me.
So Sam owned Satellite Restaurant, which was in Chatham, Ontario, which was about 20-minute drive from Wallaceburg. And we used to go to Greek school in Chatham. So a lot of the Greek men would gather at Satellite Restaurant while the kids were in Greek school. So, yeah, so I am very proud to say I know the family.
Well, I've got a friend in Italy, Valentina, who would be very upset to hear that I know somebody that knows the guy who put pineapple on a pizza. I mean, she's very proud Italian and she hates that. But we love pineapple on a pizza just like they love prosciutto on a melon. Yeah. So it's the same concept. Yes.
I'm definitely a pineapple girl. So
Now, you don't look to me like somebody that eats a lot because you're nice and slim and you're fit looking. But you've gone and done something super amazing, which I'm really impressed with. I've got it right next to me, and it's a book called My Cypriot Table, Mediterranean Recipes for Gathering, Sharing, and Savoring. It's that second line in the book that speaks to me, because Cypriot food, much like a lot of the food in the Middle East and the Mediterranean, is about sharing. It's not steak and three veg individual plates. Cypriot food is the meze. I mean, traditionally, you would have meze when you're socializing with family and friends, or you'd have a big sini, casserole dish of an item that everyone eats from. And you bring that culture of Cyprus into the cooking world. Now, before we dive, before we do a deep dive into the book, you briefly mentioned to me that you're also a TV chef, right?
Yes. So I do a lot of TV. In back home in Canada, which is something I'm very proud of, and it's where I'm able to share that passion.
So, would you say that your specialty is Cypriot, Mediterranean, Middle Eastern food, or would you say that you're more familiar with European continental food?
I would say, because I have a passion for my culture and my heritage, I would say that my expertise is in Middle Eastern and Mediterranean cuisine.
That's good for me.
But I am very versatile in a lot of other cuisines as well.
Look, I'll be transparent with you. I am first of all, obviously by sheer bias and default, I'm a huge fan of Cypriot cuisine. And I'm going to ask a few questions about Cypriot cuisine in a moment. But I'm a huge fan of Southeast Asian food. And I think that was my Melbourne upbringing with so many Asian restaurants around me. So I've always dreamed of creating a fusion of Cypriot Middle Eastern food with Southeast Asian. So often when I cook food from our part of the world, I'll often throw in chilies, ginger, lime, and Asian it up a bit. And it works for me. So I'm going to talk to you about bringing me onto your show to do a little Asian Cypriot cooking. But I interrupted you.
Well, as we're talking about that, I'd like to give a shout out to Christina Christofi, Master Chef Canada in Greece. She has opened up a little pop-up at Comfy in Limassol.
Comfy in Limassol.
And it's called Mazevumen.
Mazevumen. We gather.
Yeah, we gather. And her partner, they're both Master Chef. He's South Asian influence and she's the Mediterranean. And they have put together something so extraordinary that you have to visit. That combination, you're going to fall in love with their concept and their food.
So it's called Mazevumen.
Mazevumen.
At Comfy in Limassol.
Yeah.
All right, I'm definitely going to...
And it's brand new. It just opened. It's really busy, so I suggest you make a reservation. The venue is beautiful. It's quaint. The food is sharing plates. But their dishes as a combination, the two of them, is unreal.
That sounds like my kind of place. I'm going to have to go and try that out.
Definitely.
Look, Limassol is Cyprus's... innovative cuisine destination, to be honest with you. I mean, if you go to Paphos, you're going to get rustic Cypriot food. Larnaca the same. Nicosia, maybe a little bit more westernized. But yeah, Limassol is where you definitely get your Asian fusions, your continental whatnot. One thing about Cypriot cuisine, I've always said that Cypriot food is rustic, it's tasty, it's hearty, it's incredibly healthy. It's
Mediterranean diet.
It's absolutely amazing. But what I've always said about our food was that it didn't present well. It doesn't usually look great. I mean, you could say the same about Indian food. It's usually like a big slop of meat and sauce. It doesn't look great, but it tastes amazing. Same with Cypriot food. It never really looks great. But going through your book and the way you've presented the Cypriot food, it made me think, oh, one of the reasons why our food is not famous for its image, for its look, is because we have never really been internationally proud of it and open Cypriot restaurants around the world. Usually we either do a Greek or a Turkish restaurant,
yes.
You know, that provides some Cypriot food. So we've never focused on our presentation. But your book makes even Louvie is the most basic of foods, and somehow you've made it look so appealing in your book.
It's so good, Gosta. It's so delicious, look, I promise.
And I mentioned to Irini before we started recording, I had my first bowl of Louvie just a week ago. I'm not proud of this.
I'm not proud of you either, Gosta. You live in a country that has the best Louvie ever.
I could never understand why everyone was so, you know, every time we flew to another country that had Cypriots, they'd be like, oh, could you bring us some fresco Louvie with you? And I always thought they were mad, but now I kind of get it. But again, you know, I grew up with all these Cypriot foods in Australia. I grew up with them, obviously. And now that I'm in Cyprus, I'm eating it all the time. I mean, my body shows that I'm enjoying the Cypriot food. But you've done an amazing job of making it look appealing, colourful. It's like, you know, when you watch those, okay, this is a really bad analogy, but hear me out. It's like when you watch those American movies where they have the nerdy girl or the nerdy boy, and then by the end of the film, they're like, you know, the homecoming queen or whatever. Yes, you know, I mean, I know that's a bad example, but that's what you've done to Cypriot food. And I think it's amazing. I mean, the taste is already there. That's a winner. Yeah. And I mean, I haven't eaten from your food yet, but I hope to one day.
You will soon at the book launch.
I'm looking forward. All right. You've mentioned book launch. Okay, so you're in Cyprus at the moment for this book launch.
Yes.
It's your first book, right?
It is my first book.
And I mean, like, what a first book. This is like literally going straight to an Academy Award on your first film. You know, like, so you've brought the book over to Cyprus. You've already launched it in Canada.
Yes.
Right? How was it received there?
Amazing. It became a bestseller.
No.
It's been embraced, and I'm so proud, so honored. And thank you to all my Canadians who've been there to support me on this journey. But yes, and, you know, for me, the importance of this book, like back home in Canada, when I tell them I'm from Cyprus, they'll say, oh, wow, what part of Greece is that? You know, we love our Greeks. We love our Greek island. We love Greece. But you know what? No, Cyprus is its own country. And I like to explain Cyprus. It's where East meets West.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
We have our Mediterranean and we have our Middle Eastern. So for me, this book wasn't, most importantly, it was to leave a legacy.
Mm-hmm.
For my mom, my parents' legacy, now my three daughters, now my two grandchildren.
Yes, you heard right. She has three daughters and two grandchildren.
Yes. And I want them to know our refugee story. I want them to know where we came from, but also continue to celebrate our heritage.
Correct.
And, you know, I'm so proud of my girls, all three of them, but now Zoe, my oldest, who now is married and has her own family, she cooks and embraces the Cypriot food and speaks the language. And, you know, that to me, I'm so proud, and I feel I've done such a good job to
instill that. Well, it's such a brilliant thing that you've done, because like places like Canada and Australia are countries built on migration. Of course, there's the ancient indigenous populations, of course, and we respect that, but it's built on migration and immigrants. So why should the Italians or the Japanese or the Vietnamese or the Thai or the Spanish, why should they hold the monopoly on the cuisine? Even the Greeks.
Yeah.
I mean, Greek cuisine is very popular around the world.
Oh, very.
Yeah,
very.
And I mean, like, I always say to people, if you like Lebanese and you like Greek, then Cyprus is your place, because it literally hybrids both. And it brings it to the fore. Just like Cyprus itself is a fusion of all the people that have come and gone from Cyprus over the millennia, so is our cuisine. But when we go to Canada or Australia, we bring that cuisine with us where we're going. Now, okay, Canada has poutine and maple syrup and whatever. Okay, these uniquely Canadian things. But Canadian and Australian cuisine is basically an amalgamation of immigrant cuisine.
Yes.
So like gyro on a pizza, pineapple on a pizza, as we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, in Australia, I've seen a chocolate gyro where they shave chocolate into a gyro or whatever. Yeah. And it's like the bee's knees now. This, you know, I mean, and so bringing Cypriot food into Canada, for me, makes sense.
Yes.
I mean, you've already got a separate diaspora population to kick it off.
We do, quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, but with the right marketing, you'd have others jumping in. There's a separate restaurant in Melbourne that I've frequented recently, last year when I visited. I couldn't believe the reviews. I was looking at the reviews and there was all these Anglo-Saxon Asian names, whatever, raving about the Cypriot food. And I thought, I've never seen Cypriots talk about Cypriot food like that. It's almost like we're ashamed of our food, like it's subclass when it's not. It's the survival cuisine of so many influencers.
Yes, and that's what I love about it. And, you know, and back home, I said to my dad, and because my dad owned a restaurant, a pizza place, and, you know, my stories are in the book, so I know we can't talk a lot about them, but there's a lot of, I mean, what's so beautiful about this book is it's not only it has over 100 recipes, but there's amazing stories that are going to, that are also going to be nostalgic for other people, right? And when I had such a passion, I wanted to open up a Cypriot restaurant back home in Canada. And my dad said, don't you dare. You are not allowed.
Was I like, look at me?
Yeah, like, you know, I love the restaurant. I love my culture. I love feeding people, bringing together people around my family.
It's your
table.
Cypriot DNA. It doesn't disappear. It doesn't disappear. It's there forever.
It is.
I mean, you've said your oldest daughter is right on that bandwagon as well, which is amazing. And look, I do know a few Canadian Cypriots, and I must admit, because there are a lot less Cypriots in Canada than there is in Melbourne, for example, or in London especially, yet the community is strong.
Yes.
It's quite united, and it's quite productive. I've always been impressed when they come back to Cyprus for holidays or whatever, how connected they are to the country, yet at the same time proudly Canadian, and that's great. Yes. I mean, like, that's what makes Canada, and I keep throwing Australia in here because that's my own bias, but that's what makes these countries great, because it's, you can be 100% Canadian at the same time as being 100% Cypriot.
Yes.
You know, and you can celebrate both, you can merge both, you can focus on one or the other.
So on that note, Costa, before we move forward, so the book, because Canada opened up their hearts and their home for us, this book not only celebrates Cyprus, but it also celebrates Canada. So it is the Cypriot flavors with the Canadian bounty.
Brilliant.
Because for me, farm to table, our farmers are very important. And my upbringing here, my grandfather, Christopher, in the north in Gomi Kebir, he was an olive farmer. He produced olives and olive oil. My mom's parents, my yayan papu in Varosi, had a farmer's market. Like, they were farmers. And I grew up on that mentality.
With real food.
It was real food. Like, we shopped at the markets. My mom grew her own food. Like, you know, it was something that was instilled in me and I was raised with. So for me, it was very important to capture that aspect of the Mediterranean diet, the farmers, because at the end of the day, that's who feed us. Without farmers, we have nothing.
No, right? Well, you know, we could just all continue going to fast food joints and just get unhealthy and reduce our lifespan. But to me, I've always said that if you eat a Mediterranean diet, but live in a country like Canada or Australia with the best medical care, universal Medicare, things like this, then you're guaranteed to be blue zone living well into your 80s and 90s. I mean, this is what's not to love about the best of both worlds?
Yes, absolutely. You know?
From cuisine to culture and to way of life. Tell me, you've launched a book in Canada. You said it's become a bestseller, which is phenomenal. Right. You've now come to Cyprus. You're launching in Cyprus now. You've already done a few soft launches or small launches. Yeah, tell me about those. How was that?
So it's been amazing. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Cyprus. Thank you to everyone, because I get goosebumps because the amount of love and support this past 3 or 4 days that I've been here has been extraordinary.
Great.
I've done Chriso Lefu.
Chriso Lefu, she's amazing chef.
She is my heart. I love her.
You can see her heart of gold in the way she talks and presents. She's legit.
She is so legit. I love her to pieces. She opened up her heart and her kitchen to me the other day. Mm. And stay tuned. I'll let you know when it airs. But we did a collaboration. Wonderful. So we did a few recipes from the book. And she made me one of my favorite desserts that I haven't had in a long time, called Charlotta.
Oh, wow. It's one of my grandma's favorite dessert.
And she made it with spoon sweets.
Yes. Yeah, thing is, Charlotte, Cyprus, Charlotte.
Oh my God.
Did she tell you the story behind the dessert?
No, she didn't.
Because it's named after Queen Charlotte, who was one of the queens of Cyprus from the French era, if I'm not mistaken. And apparently she fell in love with the Cypriot spoon sweets and would hide them into her desserts.
Oh my God. Yeah. See, I had that.
And I don't know how true that is, but that's what I've been told.
But that Charlotte she made for me was to die for. So we're going to be sharing the recipes.
Awesome.
I did two special recipes from the book. We had so much fun. She's funny. We had a lot of laughs. I also, Andreas from Academic in Larnaca, I dropped in there.
Academic and General Bookstore.
General. Yeah. He's carrying my books. He's also going to be my bookseller at my launch at the end of October 1st. And I also wanted to give a big shout out to Yorgos Kyriagou from Kyriagou Books in Lemesso.
He's also carrying the books?
He's carrying, not only is he carrying the books, but he is one of my biggest supporters. He personally came down for the book launch. He took me out with his family. We got to know each other. But what made it so special is Kyriagou's books is actually from Varossi. So being born in Varossi, like this bookstore is very special to me. And when I met him, I fell in love with his family. It was like being with family. So thank you very much. So the book's available there.
So it's available both at Kyriagou Bookshop in Limassol and at Academic in General in Larnaca.
Yeah, and Nicosia as well, which I'm going to drop in after, is Solonion.
Another well-known in Nicosia.
Yeah, Solonion books. So I'm excited to drop in there after, sign some books, meet them.
Excellent.
I'm surprising their visit there as well. So I'm really excited.
So it's impossible not to be able to find your book, in other words.
Yeah, no. You'll be able to. So now I'm also doing a show with Christina Christofi, the master chef from MasterChef Canada. Love her so much. We were able to share each other's books together because she wrote a book as well recently. And then I'm going to be with Galatia Bamouridis. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be on her show as well.
Wow, look at you.
In a couple weeks. So stay tuned. I'll be sharing all these segments.
Have all these people been, not just them, but your family and friends and everyone here, because they know that you're into this, are they trying to feed you as well to try and impress you, or are they a bit nervous to feed you?
Oh no, they feed me because they think I don't eat macaroni de forno or
the love language of Cyprus,
like chef d'alia and souvla and stuff, right? Everybody wants to feed you the same thing because they want you to eat it.
You know, but then the same thing happens in the diaspora, that you cannot take the Cypriot out of the Cypriot. Like whenever I visit Australia, especially for the first few weeks, I want to try different food. I have enough Cypriot here. And everyone, including my non-Cypriot friends, are like, you're coming over for dinner and I'm making you halloumi or I'm making you souvlagia. And I'm like, that's really, really sweet.
Let's do something different.
Yeah. Can we do a pad thai? Or can we But when you come to Cyprus, of course. But then the reverse happens to me here, where people are trying to give me foreign food because they're like, oh, you're in Xenos. He's got to have and I'm like, no, this is the land of the Cypriot food. I want the Cypriot food. Yes. Nothing beats. Okay, shout out to my Bethera Eleni, who makes the island's best pasticho, macaroni de forno.
When are we going?
I wish today was the day she makes it, because you've got to try it. Because, okay, maybe this she might not like what I'm about to say, but I totally mean it as a compliment. I love her macaroni de forno, and because we're going to lose listeners here, but I'm not a fan of bechamel. So she doesn't put... If you see Irini's face, Irini's looking at me like I've just insulted her religion.
What?
But she doesn't put so much on it, so it's a little bit lighter, and I like it that when it's a little bit overcooked as well, so the pasta is a little bit crunchy. Now, everyone else will tell me this is blasphemy and absolute horror. She doesn't know how to make it the right way as well, but I love it when she makes the Costa version. And so, but she also makes a mean bulguri. She, like I said, she made Luvi the other day, and I had it for the first time, and I enjoyed it. You know, she's become a master chef in the house, you know. But I'm looking forward to, maybe I shouldn't spoil the surprise now, but I'm actually, she won't listen to this. I won't let her listen to this until after. But I'm planning on this book being a gift to her because she loves cooking, but with a recipe. Even the most basic of separate foods, she'll always have a recipe to follow through because she's nervous she'll make a mistake. So I'm going to like casually give her this book as a gift and make her cook from it.
Well, I'm going to have to personally sign it for her.
Definitely. But we'll at the book launch in Larnaca, can we talk about the book launch? Is it?
Yeah. Okay. It's a private event. But yes, absolutely.
No, I'm excited because you are having it in early October and you're having it at this wonderful venue, Galoo, by the sea. So, I mean, it's
so appropriate.
It doesn't get more separate than that.
It's so appropriate.
But I'm also excited about the whole concept of it. Like, you're going to have, I can mention the sponsors, right?
Yeah, of course.
You've got Legui Café Coptillon, who's bringing in the coffee on a coffee cart, and they're going to make coffee for people.
Yeah, and October 1st is National Coffee Day, too. So what a great fit.
It's Cyprus's National Day. It's the coffee day. It's the book launch of Eleni Matisse's book. But you're also going to have what I call the island's best wine, Zambartas.
Yeah, Marco and Marlene.
Marco and Marlene are
special.
They're adorable people, as are their kids. They've got an amazing winery. I must mention, actually, with this opportunity, following the fires in the region, they were lucky that they didn't get the hardest hit like others, but they did some amazing work afterwards, gathering money for some of their staff who had lost homes.
They give back to the community.
They do. They give back to the community. Marcos, who I've known for many years, is quite witty, quite funny, but quite switched on. And he runs in his father's footsteps. He's running a great business. But his wines, the Zambartas wines, are to die for. And I wish that there was a steady big supply in Australia because I'd have everyone drinking it. Hint, hint, Marcos.
Yeah.
Or maybe I should just talk to Marlene and I actually get it done.
Yes, exactly.
But I think it's wonderful that he's bringing the wines to the event. I mean, like, there's no better than getting, I mean, Zambartas wine. This is a given. But then are they going to be, are people going to have the chance to try your food? Is any of your food going to be out?
Yes, so we are serving six recipes from six? The book. Yes.
Which ones? Do you know yet? Can we say?
Well, we can. We're going to be doing halloumi saganaki. So that's a twist to the Greek one.
Yeah.
But I'm biased, but the halloumi saganaki.
100% anything. Put halloumi on a pad thai and you'll improve it.
Exactly. You know what? Excuse me for saying this, but I call it the Cypriot crack.
Yeah. No, you could say that.
Cypriot crack. And so it's halloumi saganaki ignited with Cypriot brandy.
But what I do is
before I ignite it, I throw a yesakistes in there
to
warm them all up and the flavors and the lemon. And then I finish it off with dry mint and serve it with bites, right? Cypriot pitas.
I'm literally about to salivate.
Yeah. We're going to be...
So that would be enough for me.
Everybody's just, excited about that.
Yep.
We're going to do the Luvian Lahana Bruschetta.
And that's the picture I showed you in the book earlier. Yeah.
You're
going
to try that.
Excellent.
Because Chef Fivos, I'm so excited for him to make the recipes. We're going to do Afelia Baidakia, so ribs. So pork ribs made out of afelia for afelia flavor.
I have a Canadian friend. I won't name her, but I have a Canadian friend that lives in Cyprus that will lose her mind at the concept of rib afelia.
You try these. They are addicting. And then we're doing a salad, which is the panzanella tomato salad. So it's olive bread panzanella salad. So Costa, through the book, it's a no-waste book. It's a sustainable book. So I take my tahini dip and I turn it into a vinaigrette.
Huh.
I take my talaturi and turn it into a chicken marinade.
Beth and Eleni, did you hear that? Use your talaturi and turn it into a marinade for your chicken. Go on.
So, for example, my melonzo salata, I use it as a sandwich spread.
Oh, come on.
So, how
can people not be frothing at this? I mean, this is just...
It's amazing.
Yeah,
unique.
And
so, my liobita, my olive bread recipe, I turn it into croutons.
Ooh.
And I added in a tomato salad, but the dressing is fried anchovies with fried capers.
Okay.
Chilies, dry chilies. Yum. And then it's in a red wine vinaigrette. And you have fresh parsley and fresh mint. And you toss it all together. It's extraordinary.
You don't often get me it's speechless.
It's extraordinary. And then the last, so I do a darama in the book. And by the way, the darama is inspired by fat fish in Lemesol. It's one of my favorite daramas I have ever tasted. It is a white.
I was going to ask, is it white or pink?
It's white. It's white.
Yeah, you know it's legit when it's
but
white.
But there's. I'm not going to share the secret what's in their darama, but I have a secret in my darama too that makes it extra fluffy, whipped. So it's a no waste secret, but you have to have the book to be able to make it. So I've taken that leftover darama and I made darama kiftedes. So you guys are going to try darama kiftedes.
They're going to have that. Oh, yes. No, so see, this is not right.
And then.
Are people going to be able to buy the book afterwards?
Yes. If they're
gonna
So Andreas from Academic is going to be there selling the books.
Excellent.
So I'm really excited about that, to have a local bookstore in Larnaca, because the event is in Larnaca.
Yeah.
And then we have Petros from Lefkada coming to make lukmadas right on the spot for everybody, fresh lukmadas.
Man, is that the Petros from Lefkada?
Yeah. Yes.
Look at you.
Yeah, so he's going to be there. And because, so...
I'm so waiting. I shouldn't eat all day. I'm going to come there and I'll get my calorie intake there. Yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah.
So I 20 Canadians are coming to Cyprus for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Because of my book launch, but also to tour Cyprus. So I want to give them the best traditional experience I can.
That's amazing. So hang on a second. Let's just repeat that. You're 20 Canadians. So not Cypriots. They're Canadians. Like as in of other backgrounds. Yes. They're all coming over to Cyprus. Not just for the book launch, but they're actually going to spend some time here as well. Yeah. Roaming around the island, getting to know it, spending their money. Yeah. Surely the Deputy Minister of Tourism must have been all over that.
No, unfortunately.
Well, they need to be told. Yeah. I mean, this is opportunities that you don't miss. I mean, like our island is trying to promote boutique and high spend tourism. Yeah. So basically, for every 5 all inclusive low spenders, bring in one, a tourist that's going to consume less water, waste less, but spend the same amount as the 5, So these are the kind of people that they are targeting, Canadians, Australians, Europeans that are, going to come in smaller groups. And you've got my mind ticking. Unfortunately, I'm sad to hear that the ministry's not on
top. That's okay. Hopefully, things will change in the next few weeks.
I'm sure once the rest of the Cypriots discover they'll jump on board, they'd be crazy not to.
Yeah.
Be crazy not
to. It's funny you say that because George Giriakos from Giriakou Book, he was blown away. And he's pretty good at knowing, because he said to me originally, he says, when you had reached out to me, he says, I only bought one book just to see it. And as soon as I saw that book, he said to me, he goes, it was something extraordinary.
I mean, look, I know cookbooks and I have a few, but this one, I mean, I can't wait to actually have my own copy of it. I've seen the media kit, the PDF. I had a glance through it. It's all that. And for me, like I said, for me personally, what I love about it is not just the cookbook. It's also got your stories in there.
Oh, yes.
And I mean, like, it's a bit of history and culture. I mean, it's fantastic.
Well, and also, too, one of the things that I love about this book is somebody can take the book from Canada and use it as a travel guide. I tell them where to go, where to eat, what sights to see, what beaches to go to, all of my favorite places that I love. Like,
tell us some of your favorite places. Go on.
Oh, so I love Gagobetria. And you have to go to the village pub and meet Bumble. And there's a story about Bumble. It's a very special story in the book, which was very emotional for me. And you have to have his rainbow trout. Because Canada, it's a freshwater fish, right? So in Canada, we eat a lot of rainbow trout. When my cousin Dimitra, when she told me there's an actual village that farms rainbow trout, we had to go.
Yep. I was there just last week. Not at this particular restaurant, but up in Trollos, having farmed the rainbow trout for the lunch.
You have to go see Bumbo. I'm going to visit him.
The village pub in Gagobetria.
Gagobetria. You have to go to Maria's in Vavatsinha to have her lefkari digotava.
Obsessed
with them.
How have we not traveled together around the island? Honestly, you're saying the same places. I feel okay.
for me, Spartiates.
In God knows area.
Godnos Beach is one of my favorite beaches. I know there's Nisi Beach, there's Fig Tree Bay. I know there's, and there's a lot more. Makroni. So I know there's a lot of more beautiful beaches. But for me, I don't know what it is.
It's just the greenery, I'm telling you. It's the greenery.
But sitting high, eating like flat, like on fire fish, salted fish, mezedes, because I'm a pescatarian myself. I love seafood. And overlooking beautiful Godnos Bay, I love it. I love Simos, Old Simos in Sodira, that restaurant.
Larnaca. Did you look at my Facebook and pull out all these places?
No, not at all. Larnaca, growing up, we've always been to Maligi's. Pleftigo, Michalis and his family. They're beautiful people.
They haven't stopped providing Pleftigo the right way. No. Often when places get super popular and get a lot of food, they just fast food it. But no, he's kept his quality.
And make sure you order their homemade yogurt in the Bilina.
Yes, I know the one.
In the clay pot, like amazing. I love it with their burkuri. Alasia next door, they make gubes.
They and do that, yes.
Yeah. Make sure you have shamishi. There's also psilo in Veriña. They make the best gubes.
Silo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And baggies Silo. In Larnaca, they make the best grilled halloumi sandwiches with roca, with arugula.
Baggies. Okay, no, those last two I don't know. Okay, I learned
you have to go to Baggies. They're only open till 2:00. Love him. He's in the book. All these places are in the book. It'll tell you where to go, where to eat, all of my favorite. And there's so much more. Lefkara, go visit the village of Lefkara, the wineries. I have Zambartas, I have Ayosambelis, like where the festivals are, the wine festival in Lamiso, which, by the way, is coming up. You know, there's the strawberry festival. Kolokasi.
We're going to the potato festival at the end of this week in Xilofagu. It's right next to the controversial big potato.
Yeah.
We're going. I mean, look, Cyprus and its rustic food and its, celebration of food in our festivals. I mean, like, what other country has so many festivals attached to a food item, from the Kolokasi taro festival, potato festival, strawberry festival, Zivania festival, Gligatou Koutalou festival. Like, what happened to the, it's Tuesday and Sunny festival? the Saint. I mean, like, it's incredible. And even when we do have religious festivals, like, Banaya, 15th of August, and things like that, you go there and it is a food fest. I mean, you got your shamishis and your lukumales and your souffles and souvlaki. I mean, nothing beat. I mean, you don't eat meat, but I mean,
I do.
Oh, you did meat. Sorry, Winsett Pescaveri, you threw me out.
I eat everything.
Because my next question was like, how do you know your food is so good if you're not eating it? But you are eating. Okay.
I eat meat, but I would say for me, if you were to give me meat or fish, I would pick the fish.
Especially a good Mediterranean quality fish. But no, there's nothing. Nothing, absolutely nothing beats the smell of Cyprus on Syknobempti on Stinky Tuesday when basically the whole island is grilling meats. And it just, that smell of the souvla and the fat burning on the charcoal. I mean, and it doesn't get more basic. I mean, what's on that? A bit of beer,
maybe? When I get off the plane and it's in the evening and we're driving and I get out of the car, I smell Sheftalia.
Yeah.
And the first thing I have when I arrived, it was like 8:30, 9:00 at night, I had Bita Sheftalia.
All right, I'm going to fire off some quick food questions to you now. So, Sheftalia, cinnamon or not?
Cinnamon.
Halloumi, flaunes. Raisins or not?
No raisins.
With you so far. Avrolemoni, leave the chicken in or pull it out?
I pull it out.
Yep.
And then I add it at the end.
Okay, we're doing good. Let me just think. Mostija mojito or normal rum mojito?
Mostija, my God.
That's a unofficial national drink, right?
I actually been drinking Mostija sparkling water the whole time I've been here.
How good is it?
Obsessed.
You know, it's the one gift that Greece has given recently that keeps giving. All right. Lahmacun or za'atar, pita?
Za'atar.
Za'atar. Yeah, no, I'm the jury's out for me.
I like
my comfort food is a za'atar pita with a ouzo side. I mean,
we're gonna eat after this, right?
We can. Actually, I think my mother-in-law, if you like lentils, my mother-in-law, I think today's made mentils. Lentils.
Fagin or?
It's not mujendra. She does something that is kid-friendly, but it's tasty. I mean, like, okay, I think she'll be intimidated knowing that you'll be trying it, but I like it. but no, she's a good cook. And tsureki or flauna?
Flauna.
100%. I mean, tsureki, it's nice, but you can get a bit too much of it. Flauna. Okay, do you break the fast to have your flauna the minute it's cooked, or do you hold out until Sunday?
I break the fast.
Yeah, we all do.
Yeah, once it comes out of that oven, there's no
stopping. I reckon the monks and the priests are doing it. Of course they are.
I'm a beast when it comes to flauna.
If you can take a flauna out of the oven and not have it then and there, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah. My gosh. Yeah. I love it.
And I think if you do manage that, that's why they sign you up to become priests.
Exactly.
But actually, that's the other thing, is that I do know that our Turkish Cypriot compatriots have flaunas all year round. Mm-hmm. I wish we did as well. But then on the other hand, maybe we'll take away from the magic.
Yeah, it would. Like you have to, it's a special time, and that's, you know, I throw a lot in the freezer. So I can have them later on.
Wait, hang on a second. Right? You must have that second freezer, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Okay.
There's always a second freezer.
You wouldn't be Cypriot. You kind of lose your citizenship if you don't have a second freezer.
I make a ton of flaunas. I make a ton of tsureki. Because
interrupting you. Triangle flaunas or square?
Round.
Oh.
I'm from Varosi.
Of course.
I'm from Varosi. Okay. They have to be round. And they're in the book as well.
Do you know, have you been, I'm going to shout out, Stemma Bakery in Astromeriti?
My halimobita recipe in the book is based on Stemma. And thank you.
You know your stuff.
And thank you, Dr. Irini, for introducing me to Stemma, because, boy, do they have the best halimobita.
I will never forget. I will never forget my first halimobita from Stemma. I was very reluctant. I saw the shape and I thought, that's not a traditional halimobita. What on earth is this? And you take one bite and there's literally a whole slab of halloumi nuts.
It's amazing.
I mean, I don't know how they keep it at that price, to be honest with you.
It's amazing.
So generous. But now what I do is when I have guests, we head out from Nicosia, we do a halloumopita stop at Stemma in Astromeriti. Then we go now and they've got a Sigma bakery in Dremiklini.
Okay.
And they do the island's best dashinobitas.
Dashinobita is in the recipe in the book as well, the recipe. Oh. Dashinobita, I actually, when I first was shooting the book, I traveled everywhere to eat dashinobita. But I didn't know a lot of these small
I wish
places.
I knew you back
I,
then.
I just didn't know.
No, it would have just come for the food. Yeah. No, Cyprus has so many little gems and so many people doing amazing things. I mean, even non-Cypriot food, like there's a place in Argaga, for example, My Mamma Mia Pizzeria, okay? Mm. It's run by, I'm going to embarrass myself now, but they're either Romanian or Bulgarian. They've been living there for some time, Greek speakers and all. And they make this pizza, which is not Italian, not American, something in between, and it hits the spot.
You need to share all these places.
And you sit there right by the water, the waves are lapping right next to you, and you eat this frescottato pizza. It's to die for. But coming back to Lefkada, Da Vinci Cafe make an excellent Italian pizza.
Oh, wow.
And they've kept their prices recently on the low. It's fantastic. But look, I mean, I don't want to keep you much longer. I mean, wow, we've been talking for 45 minutes about food, which is not, well, actually, no, it's a favorite pastime in Cyprus. It's a national sport.
Of course.
But if you had anything in your fridge right now, all the ingredients you need, what is your, and you've got to answer really quickly, what is your go-to meal to fix?
For me,
crambo
salada and
patatas tianides. Patatas tianides. We didn't even talk about that. I mean, are they not the world's best potatoes?
They're the world's best potatoes.
There is no doubt about it. Cypriot potatoes, you just boil them in water without anything, and they taste amazing.
No, Cypriot, there's nothing like Cypriot patatas.
No one believes me until they try them. No one believes me. And I cannot comprehend how they're serving frozen imported fries at some restaurants here.
No.
We're the land of potatoes.
No. That's a sin. They should be banned.
It should be like, you know, the government should have these, like, you know, spot inspections and they go to restaurants and ask. But you know, look, I can't thank you enough for giving me your time in this busy program you have. Thank you. I really appreciate. I'm really looking forward to the launch. And I mean, like, it sounds like it's going to be our event for the day. So
put your dancing shoes on too, Gosta, because we're going to dance. We're going to Greek dance.
All right. No, that's okay. All right. So I'm going to come. All right. I've got things in my mind happening already. I might even bring my Larnaca flamingo shirts.
I would love that. We have to get a photo together. Yeah,
I'm going to do that. Actually, I promise you I'll do that. Yeah. It's very cheesy, but hey, what the heck? You know? But look, thank you so much. I cannot wait to have my own copy of this in my hands, cooking from the recipe, taking photos and embarrassing myself when I send them to you. But and I'm looking forward to, because I will be over in Canada soon, I hope.
You better call me.
Yes, no, and I will look you up, and I'm expecting to get fed Cypriot food.
Absolutely.
After what I said earlier. But yeah, no, looking forward to it. Thank you so much. Kalos na dekhtis, your family that are here now. Enjoy your time in Cyprus. Take full advantage of your time here. Enjoy it. Get an even darker tan. And live, what is that? Drink and, no, bine krasina shizoi. So drink wine and live life.
Oh, I'm drinking lots of wine. Costa, I should be thanking you. I'm honored that you took time and the opportunity to share and put a spotlight. I like to call it my heart and soul on paper. My Cypriot heart and soul on paper. It's been truly an emotional 3 years writing this book and photographing it and food styling it myself and writing the recipes. And, you know, I'm so proud of it and so proud of my country, both countries, Cyprus and Canada. But yes, thank you for shining a spotlight on it, for shining a spotlight my on pleasure, me and absolutely. My story. And I'm so glad we, Nikos, thank you again, Nikos, for connecting
thank
us.
You.
And now we, a new friendship, right?
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
The first trilingual podcast station of Cyprus, Island Talks, open, diverse, free.